Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, Starla. Hello to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land.
Yes, they've allowed me to come back and be on the show again this week after last week's little spin off the rails. Yes, I crashed and dived. It was a horrible mess, that's for sure. But I do want to thank all of you people who take the time to listen to our show. I know a lot of times get on things, it seems like it just really is offensive to me for people of faith to say things that's obviously not true, and then wonder why people don't want to listen to other things that they have to say. And I do understand it. We all have a tendency to have someone that we follow or someone we listen to, and they agree with us. And so we just, you know, sort of lock in with that. But I'd like to encourage you that in your thought process that maybe you should listen to some people who disagree with you. Maybe you should listen to some other perspectives on things to get a bigger picture than what you have, because that's basically what I've always tried to do with this show. And last week I just sort of got off on a tangent and responding to some people have some really negative things to say. But I learned something in that process, or relearned some things, that has to do with power of words and powers of things that we say, and how you can look at it to realize that there is a positive power and there's a negative power. If it sounds like something from Star Wars, you got the Force, the good Force, or the right of what it is to be, and then you have the dark side of the Force. And negativity is one of those things that it's going to be the dark side of the Force if we're not careful in what we're doing, because there's no way you can build up faith in God and have negativity going on. You can't have love one for another with your brother if you have negativities in your life. You become judgmental. Those things tie into being negative instead of positive things, of being encouraging and to be a positive force for people. And I learned a long time ago, if you plant tomato seeds, guess what? It's going to grow a tomato plant. And guess what kind of fruit's going to grow on that plant? Tomatoes. Well, whatever seed we plant is what's going to come up, because the people that I really got on a tangent against last week and talking about how I thought that they were ignorant the way they worded some things, and the following of the minds of some different people that I know who it is they're quoting, but I don't usually give name to. I actually stirred those people up, and they were worse this last week than what they were the week before. And guess what? This is what I got to say to you people. I love you. Yes, I do. I just love you so much. Now, going away from there, so I don't believe you love them quite as much. But yeah, I really do. I care for people. A lot of the things I say come from my heart, from a good place. But it doesn't matter if I throw it out there with a sledgehammer instead of giving it in love with sugar and sweets and candy. People are not going to receive it. This week we're going totally to a different hemisphere of looking at positive things that have to do with life. You've all heard the saying before that your attitude can establish your altitude. And that's true. It's one of those things that we've all learned in living. And it seems like in the news and things out there, everything has to do with no hope and fear and all the trepidation that seems to come with people looking at signs of the time and end time. And I'm not going there tonight, because there's enough of that going on. But I want you to realize that not just as we go looking at life and we look at this new generation coming up and we want to judge them as we're older than they are to see things that we don't agree with, and we think this whole generation's bad. And it's just like us looking at politicians, we want to take someone and we want to crucify them. There's a good side of people and there's a bad side of people. And even with different age groups, we forget to look at that there's different age groups that's coming up. And it's the majority of people appear to be one way, because that's the ones that we see. The news carries the negative things. You do a Google search on someone, the negative things are what comes up first. It seems like our whole society today is built on tearing people down to make ourselves feel better. And that's not what we're going to do here tonight. Tonight I got some clips I put together for you. Music is one of those things that moves me a lot, and I had a lot of music in here, and I tore it down and took it off because I ended up with the show way too long. I want people to be able to talk and share their insights at the end. I was allowed to, or asked to preach a message this last week, and it sort of goes along with the mindset of what I had for this show for tonight. And I may bring that to you next week, just to go in and fill in some gaps on things of what God's doing in my life to speak to me, because we're all in process. God don't expect us to be perfect. He molds us and shapes us, and He uses things in our life to separate imperfections from our life. And last week was one of those with me. That's past. I can't do anything about that, but I can go on with future. And as we go looking at different generations and things and in society, we need to realize there are some people out there doing some good things. And as we, a people of faith, need to realize that we should be doing good things. We should be sowing seeds of love, positive seeds that help change other people's altitude by changing their attitude, by being a positive influence on them. And I just got some little light things I want to share to show you that things are not quite as bad as you think they are. There's a lot of good things that just never seem to come to the surface. And then I'm going to bring us around to the end to show you how that it's going to take a relationship with God. You know, when you look at marriage was never designed to work without God being in the process. You can't look at plan of salvation and looking at our eternal soul without God being a major part of that process. And so I'm wanting to bring this up at the end to just kind of tie it in and share some things with you on some scripture and some things with you that has to do with who God is that I hope really speaks to your heart and to my heart, because where I am weak, He is strong. Where I am totally baffled, He has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. Nothing confounds Him. Nothing confuses Him. Nothing catches God by surprise. So we're going to play these clips. I hope you enjoy it. And as always, we look forward to hear what you have to say at the end of the show.
Finally, guys, it seems like the news is worse than ever, both here in the U.S. and everywhere around the world. It seems like there's nothing but bad news out there. Well, we here at The Tonight Show have decided to do something about that. So we asked real local NBC News anchors from all around the country to read stories that we wish were true, stories that make us feel happy. I'll show you what it means in tonight's installment of I've Got Good News and Good News.
President Obama and Speaker of the House John Boehner took a hot air balloon ride together to discuss what their favorite color is. According to reports, they each said every color at the exact same time, then hugged and floated off into the sunset.
Vladimir Putin says he's over the whole being evil thing and is currently in the process of writing a children's book called The Happy Octopus.
There's a new iPhone app out that helps give advice to people going through a divorce, but it didn't sell well in the stores. It appears that everybody is happily married.
A new study found that water slides, pizza, sunshine, friendship, shooting stars, breath mints, dance parties, and turtles are all awesome.
Great news, everybody. Ghosts cannot hurt you. Nobody's ever been hurt by a ghost. Ghosts are scary. Nobody's saying they're not. But there is not one reported case of death caused by a ghost.
This just in. Stress, spelled backwards, is dessert. Think about it.
And finally, a new report finds that I love you. Yes, you. I know we haven't met before, but I think about you all the time. And together we can get through this. It's us against the world, buddy.
Don't you feel better?
Republicans and Democrats have reached a deal to, quote, just be cool with one another. Witnesses say a dog in sunglasses riding a skateboard is in town this week. And guess who he wants to hang out with? You.
Great news for commuters. Traffic jams are no longer possible, especially where you live.
Okay, on the count of three, let's both say what we're thinking. One, two, you're the coolest person in the world.
Well, you better snuggle up, everyone. The forecast today says there's a 100% chance of puppy hugs.
Breaking news, everybody. Kissing rules. Fighting drools.
Just a reminder, babies are quick to smile at pretty much anything. If you meet a baby, chances are you won't have to do much to get a grin out of them.
And finally tonight, now that I've got you face to face, can I just tell you that you are, like, seriously the best person? You're nice, you're funny. And most importantly, you smell good.
Okay, now we can all agree that that was just a little bit of silliness there, and my being facetious as I like to do at times. People of faith are always being accused of living in this sort of world where we kind of make up our own news. We have people that, when it seems like that they're all bubbly and outgoing and just... We just like to hear. We were making up our own news. We don't really pay attention to life, what's really going on around us. And that's not what I'm trying to talk about when I talk about the power of positive thinking and the thinking of things positive, the seed that we sow being positive, because there's a positive power that we have to bring to bear on things that are real. We don't have to be facetious, and we don't have to act like things are not bad when they're bad. But you know, trust me, in every situation, there's something good is happening. You can read in the Bible where God used storms in people's lives, and in those storms, it has separated the things from their life and needs to be separated so that they can get that closer relationship with God, move everything that's in between out of the way, and so we can have that direct connection to God. And so I just wanted to put that in here, hopefully to put a smile on your face, because it did me when I was putting these together, because we would like to be able to turn on the news and these be the things that we hear, to think that our country still has a positive attitude and we're looking to all these things, and we wish some of these things were a reality. Not so much the puppies raining from the sky, but you know, we wish that our politicians could get along to better and come up with a middle ground, and we wish that in this world we live in, that you know, we could stop all the things that have to do with crime that's going on around us, and we could just spread more love. But what the reality is of what we have to spread is much more powerful than what I just shared with you there. So hang on, I got some more clips for you.
He will make a way. He will make. today, my friends, face difficult days ahead. We still have work to do, mountains to climb and obstacles to overcome. We cannot stop striving yet. They won't get easier, life's challenges, but they will become more intricate, tricky. But when life's complexities confuse us, when the paradoxical ironies of existence surprise us, and when we are troubled by the uncontrollable external entities, both spiritual and physical, we must remember our ABCs. No, not the alphabet English majors of reading and writing, but the ABCs of life. And once we've learned them, we should take them with us as we let our lives do the singing. We should take the A and accept the challenge. The B and believe in ourselves. The C, convert our thoughts into hopes. And the D, the determination to convert our hopes into dreams. We should E, expect some obstacles on the way up. And F, fight while being faithful and finish the course. We should G, get God on our side. And H, have a Harvey model of leadership. We should I, inspire someone else. And J, take Jesus on our journey. We should K, keep on keeping on. And L, be a leader. We should M, make every day count. And N, never give up. We must O, overcome our obstacles. And P, put our best foot forward. We must Q, quit quitting. And R, run the race with patience. We must S, strive on while T, trusting in the Lord. We should U, use our talent. And V, value our time. We should W, wait for understanding. And X, x-ray our own lifestyle. We should Y, yearn to achieve all that we seek. And Z, be zealous when reaching the top. Yes. Yes, we can reach the top.
A woman in Nashville has come up with a solution to help prostitutes get off the street. Minister Becca Stevens offers women a free alternative. They can work for the company she started, Thistle Farms, making soaps, oils, and other cosmetic products. The best part, the program also offers free housing. A survivor of sexual abuse herself, Becca knows firsthand how these women need a job and a place to live if they want to change their lifestyle.
What I didn't know was that period would link me to the women on the streets forever.
This is the red light district, you would call it. When you get ready, you let me know.
Wow, what a heart for ministry. The program seems to be working. 75% of the women Becca has helped have stayed off the streets. Those are great stats. 75%.
Fire Station 1 in Lansing, Michigan is not a restaurant, but it does have a regular customer.
Here you go, Tony.
Thank you.
You want some Kool-Aid?
I got my pump.
Okay.
Tony Tuminello has a mental disability, but definitely not an eating one. He never misses a meal here. And why should he? The firemen all pitch in to pay for his food and even provide transportation to and from.
All right, boss, here we go.
And that's just a small sampling of the service they provide him.
All right, see you.
Tony has his own place, but he pretty much just sleeps there.
Good night, Tony.
Hi.
He also has his own job at a local flower market, but he pretty much just works there. Otherwise, he's at the station and has been about 6 hours a day, nearly 365 days a year, for almost 60 years now.
Yeah.
It was 1953 when, at the age of 13, Tony went up to some firemen in his neighborhood.
Did they invite you to come back to the station?
Yep.
And you did?
Yep.
And you never left?
Nope.
Over the years, things have changed, however.
That's amazing.
What started as one act of kindness for a kid has clearly evolved into something much more.
Yeah, you too.
It's really special. I really can't put into words.
A lot of the guys either couldn't put it into words or used the same word.
You know, he's like family. He's just family.
We'll definitely use the word family.
And they treat him exactly as such.
Please.
No coddling here. They play jokes on Tony, as brothers do.
Fine.
Like take his cane.
Hey.
And Tony will tease them right back.
My assistant here.
Like when he calls Battalion Chief Jim Marino his assistant.
Oh, I just got demoted again.
Oh, you better get it straight.
I'll never get it straight.
Although the brotherly teasing continues, as Tony ages, the guys have started to play another role, too. Like the children of an aging parent, the firefighters do his laundry, clean his hearing aids. They even bathe Tony now.
What if these guys weren't here? What would your life be like?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't like thinking about that?
No.
Fortunately,
He never will have to think about that.
Tony's got a place forever, yeah.
All firefighters are heroes.
Oh. Chop, chop.
But at Station 1, they are, before they ever leave the building.
All right.
So this is your dad holding you when you were first born.
Tanner Brownlee has memories of his dad all over his house.
And this flag was flown over the White House.
His dad, Sam, was a Weld County Sheriff's deputy killed in the line of duty after a police chase in 2010.
This means so much to me, just because he used the motorcycle all the time.
He was given his dad's motorcycle jacket the day he died.
Just everything I can get means a lot to me.
The jacket doesn't fit, and Tanner wants something of his dad's that does.
It means a lot to me and my brother. We've been through a lot.
5,000, now 7,500. 5, now 75, who'd be 5, 5, 5, 75? 7,500, now 10,000.
The Weld County Sheriff's Office is auctioning his dad's retired squad car.
I think I'm just going to look around, see what everyone else is doing, try to copy them. So, just up them by one.
The Dodge Charger, with 147,000 miles, is valued at $12,500.
12 and a half, now 15, now 17 and a half.
But for Tanner, it's worth so much more.
45, now 50, who'd be 50? Thank you very much.
More than he could afford at the auction. Tanner's limit had come and gone.
60 now, 62 and a half. Y'all done? Sold it your way, Mr. Steve Wells. Thank you very much. $60,000.
And so had his dad's car. Or so he thought.
Tanner, here's your car.
A stranger just bought Tanner his dad's car.
Thanks a lot, man.
So you had no idea that that guy in the back was bidding and then going to hand you the key.
Nope, I shook his hand and I didn't know.
But this is kind of the end of Sam's legacy here. It's the last tangible thing we have that he was connected to.
And now Deputy Sam Brownlee's car is back where it belongs, home.
No donuts.
I know, donuts. I won't, I promise you.
With photojournalist James Doherty in Greeley, Marshall Zellinger, 7 News.
At 10, honoring a fallen deputy while raising money for a good cause. Weld County Deputy Sam Brownlee was killed in the line of duty in 2010. Tonight, his patrol car was auctioned off. Kelly Worthman live at the sheriff's office in Greeley. Kelly, that car raised a lot of money.
Jim, it sold for 5 times what it's valued. Now, it's not unusual for out-of-service patrol cars to be auctioned off. Typically, they become cabs or even vehicles for security companies. But the car in tonight's auction was something special, and what happened here made sure it stayed that way.
This was Deputy Sam Brownlee's patrol car, and the plan was to auction it off outside the Weld County Sheriff's Office.
But we wanted to remember this car and remember the deputy who drove it in a little different fashion.
But when rain rolled in, plans changed.
That's a lot for a 19-year-old.
Now inside, Tanner Brownlee makes his plan to bid on his fallen father's car.
When he starts, you put up your hand and you start at 5.
Who do you bid? 2,500. Who do you do? 25. Now.
Yet as bids rolled in,
40 now, 41.
And the price soared higher than Tanner could afford.
We tried.
Once again, plans changed.
57 and a half.
In the back of the room stood Steve Wells.
60 now, 62 and a half.
Who had a plan of his own.
Sold it your way, Mr. Steve Wells. Thank you very much. $60,000.
Tanner, here's your car.
This is just so huge. Like, I mean, me and my dad built a fence and stuff, but, you know, like, having something I can use and drive around that he drove around, it just means a lot.
With his brother Chase at his side,
I have to unlock it first.
Tanner Brownlee made a new plan and drove his father's car home one more time.
It means so much to me. I thank everyone for that.
And I can tell you there was not a dry eye here at the Weld County Sheriff's Department. Now, between the $60,000 bid from Mr. Wells, who is a local rancher, plus the money that Tanner Brownlee had and other donations tonight, $70,000 was raised for a charity that helps families of fallen peace officers, the same charity that helped the Brownlee family. Live in Greeley, Kelly Worthman, CBS 4 News.
We had planned to bring you a story tonight about a kind of prep school that prepares football players for the NFL draft and big contracts. But we're going to call an audible. We're going to switch sports tonight because we've run across an absolutely amazing basketball player that we want you to see. Here's Steve Hartman.
Grace Athena High School in Rochester, New York, has a new, most unlikely hero, a special ed student by the name of Jason McElwain.
Let's keep it going.
Jason is the basketball team manager. For the past couple years, he's been assisting coach Jim Johnson, helping with whatever the team needs.
And go! Get him motivated and hand out water and just be enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic, to say the least. Despite being born with autism, Jason's father says his son has never had a problem expressing himself at basketball games.
You know, I was always concerned that he might get a technical and they lose a game because he, you know, starts yelling or whatever.
Let's have a hard practice tomorrow. All hour and a half, and let's get ready for Arcadia. Okay. Let's go.
One, two, three, two.
Because he has been so devoted to the team, for the last game of the season, Coach Johnson decided to let Jason actually suit up. Not to play necessarily, just to let him feel what it's like to wear a jersey. At least that was the plan. But with 4 minutes to go in last week's game, Coach Johnson stood up and pointed to number 52, Jason McElwain. After years of fetching water and toweling off other people's sweat, Jason was actually in a game. His first shot was a 20-footer from the right baseline.
Was it close? Did you almost make it?
I just airballed it.
I'm like, just, dear God, please, let's just get him a basket.
His second shot missed too, but the third was a charm. A three-point no-doubter. And Jason wasn't done yet. Not by a long shot.
If I wasn't there to witness it, I wouldn't have believed it, you know.
So you caught fire.
I just caught fire. I was hot as a pistol.
Jason ended up shooting 6 3-pointers. One right after the other. He had 20 points total, and each time a shot went in, his teammates and the crowd went a little crazier. His last basket, right at the buzzer, created total mayhem. Because he is autistic, Jason says he's used to feeling different, but never this different. Never this wonderful. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Rochester, New York.
And finally, what would you do if you had no money to buy food for your family?
A broke single mother of three in Florida felt she had no choice but to steal food from a supermarket. As Jessica Robles was leaving with a cart full of unpaid-for groceries, Officer Vicki Thomas arrived on the scene. What Officer Thomas did next surprised everyone.
I made the decision to buy her some groceries, because arresting her wasn't going to solve the problem with her children being hungry. To see them go through the bags when we brought them in, and it was like Christmas.
All I wanted to tell her is thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, wow.
Jessica is now going to a local food bank while looking for work. She says when she gets back on her feet, she will bless others the way Officer Vicki Thomas blessed her. Mm. Wow.
Thanks for watching, everyone. I'm Susan Kennedy. If you turn on any news channel these days, you're likely to find a lot of negativity that can bring you down. But here in Montgomery County, the police department has launched a campaign that focuses on the good that's happening in our community. And it all started with one officer's simple act of kindness. The campaign was launched after Officer Eric Glass took the time to stop and escort a blind person across a busy intersection in rush hour traffic. That act of kindness was captured on camera by a passing motorist and then posted on the police department's Facebook page.
He had his cane, got out, said I was a police officer, and told him that he was in the middle of the intersection. When I asked him where he was headed or where he wanted to go, and he told me the bus stop on Connecticut Avenue, and he was headed in the wrong direction. So he said he must have mistimed the light or something like that.
The post received a flurry of positive response, so much so that Officer Rebecca Innocenti came up with the idea of the Capture the Good campaign.
Often police work is associated with capturing the bad guy. That's what we do. We investigate crime and we capture the bad guy. And if we can do those little acts of kindness, like assisting this man across the street, we find great satisfaction in that. And we want to celebrate those moments as well as those moments of capturing the bad guy.
And since the kickoff last week, two other good deeds have been recorded and are on the record for the community to see.
Received a photograph the next day of an officer, ran out of gas on the side of the road. He assisted her in getting gas from a gas station and was helping her fill up her car. A personnel from the 4th District called me and let me know that two residents brought in pizza and cookies to the officers. Again, just a nice little gesture, but we want to thank people.
And though Officer Glass likely averted a near tragedy with his actions of last week, he's humble about the attention he's receiving. He says it's all part of the job.
You know, whether it's helping somebody across the street, a non-event, so to speak, helping somebody in a traffic accident or with a medical emergency or something like that. I mean, it just, these are the kind of things that we do, all police officers do all the time.
Wow. When you listen to these little stories, can you feel the power I'm talking about? When we talk about that, when you plant seeds that are positive, how it can bring forth fruit, the vine that comes up is of the same nature, and it does something to help in the community. As I said, if for people of faith, we should be applying even more to that process than just, I'm not saying these other people weren't people of faith. The last thing I want is somebody to come in and hear this, like, hey, he's trying to separate the people he had there. Because as far as I know, these people are very devout in their walk with God, and probably so. It's just not a natural thing to just automatically just jump up and do things. We just get too busy. Time passes us by, and we got to be somewhere, it seems like, all the time. And it's just rush, rush, rush. And so these things sort of get away from us. But this next few clips, I hope it just kind of brings us all together, let us realize we're not alone in all this. We don't have to try to figure all this out on our own, but we do have an accountability when we're a person of faith. You know, as we were talking about not long ago with the scriptures in Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goat, you know, it was the ones that did and the ones that didn't. And it makes it clear that God keeps score of what you're doing and what you're not doing, and that it matters. That to be called one of his, that there's more that's on our plate to do than just to soak it all in and enjoy it. But the other great thing about when you look at the aspects of who God is, and I hope this really brings us out in what we have for you here on the show, is to understand how much he loves us and to understand who he is. Because when you get to thinking about how he established himself to mankind, then it makes it very clear that he's not just a loving God, he's a giving God, but he wants to help people prosper. He wants us to have that life that's more abundant, not to have just make it through from day to day and struggle. And I'm not talking about finances. Some of the happiest people I know probably don't make that much money, but they've learned to be content with the simple things. They've got giving hearts, and they're people that they have that love one for another. It's not all about themselves. So I hope you enjoy this next part, and it's not going to be long. I'll be putting you guys on the air.
With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things I need are added to me. God keeps me in perfect peace because I keep my mind on him and I trust in him.
You bless the Lord with your soul, and you are not forgetful of all his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction.
No weapon formed against me prospers, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is my heritage, for I am a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of him.
For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
All things work together for my good because I love God and I am called according to his purpose. His word does not return to him void, empty, or without fruit, but accomplishes his pleasure, and it prospers in the purpose for which he sent it.
You prosper and live in good health, even as your soul prospers. You know, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with you to a thousand generations, because you love him and keep his commandments.
I am not conformed to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I approve what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen.
God's nature never changes. He is and He will always be. He is who He is. That's what His name Jehovah even means. It means I am. Yahweh means He is. He's God.
But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is.
He is.
He is.
Elohim, God, Judge, Creator.
Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah.
El Elyon, the Most High God.
Adonai, Lord, Master.
El Shaddai, Lord, God Almighty.
El Olam, the Everlasting God, the God of Eternity, the God of the Universe, the God of Ancient Days.
He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.
He is the Shiloh, the Peacemaker.
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle.
He is Kenah, jealous.
He is Jehovah Enkadash, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy.
He is
a star,
a scepter out of Israel,
the accursed of God,
the captain of the host of the Lord.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace.
Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of powers,
the rock of my salvation.
He is the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds.
He is the Jasmine,
the interpreter,
my rock and my redeemer.
He is crowned, the crown of pure gold,
the most blessed forever.
He is the forsaken,
the worm and no man.
He is Jehovah Ra.
He is my restorer,
the King of glory.
He who sitteth king forever.
He is a stranger and an alien.
My strong rock, my rock and my fortress.
Fairer than the children of men.
The rock that is higher than I.
The rock of my strength.
The rock of habitation.
He is as rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth.
The rock of my heart.
The shield.
The rock of my refuge.
The king and priest after the order of Melchizedek.
A brother born for adversity.
The friend that loveth at all times.
A stone of grace.
A friend that seeketh closer than the brother.
He is as ointment poured forth.
My well-beloved.
A bundle of myrrh.
A cluster of henna blooms.
The rose of Sharon.
He is the lily of the valley.
The lily of the valley.
The chiefest among 10,000.
His countenance is as Lebanon.
Yea, he is altogether lovely.
He is my beloved and my friend.
He is holy, holy, holy.
He's a sanctuary.
The great light.
A son given.
The mighty God.
The father of eternity.
He is a child born.
The prince of peace.
An ensign of the people.
The nail fastened in a sure place.
A strength to the poor.
A strength to the needy in distress.
A shadow from the heat.
A refuge from the storm.
He is the rock of ages.
A crown of glory and beauty.
He is a stone.
A triad stone.
A covert from the tempest.
He is as rivers of water in a dry place.
As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land.
As a hiding place from the wind.
He is
the king in his beauty.
My leader.
The everlasting God.
He is mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth.
He is a light of the Gentiles.
The covenant of the people.
The polished shaft.
Glorious.
He is the Holy One of Israel.
He is a man of sorrows.
Despised.
He is rejected.
He is stricken.
Smitten.
He is wounded.
Bruised.
He is oppressed.
He is my portion,
my maker,
my husband.
He's the God of the old earth,
the witness to his people,
the leader,
the commander,
the redeemer.
He is mighty.
He is my physician.
Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness.
David, their king,
their king.
My resting place.
My feeder.
The plant of renown.
Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there.
He is the prince of princes.
The Messiah.
The prince, the strength of the children of Israel.
The hope of thy people.
The ruler.
He is king over all the earth.
He is a refiner's fire.
Fuller's soap.
my refiner,
my purifier,
the Son of Righteousness.
He is Jesus, Yeshua, salvation.
Emmanuel,
God with us.
He is born as the King of the Jews.
He is a governor,
the Nazarene,
the bridegroom.
He is meek, lowly.
He is the one of whom the Father says, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
The Son of the living God,
Jesus,
the Christ,
the Rock,
the Builder,
the Prophet of Nazareth.
He is betrayed,
mocked, crucified,
the Holy One of God,
my brother,
the Carpenter,
and his life is a ransom.
He is the Son of the Blessed,
the Son of the Highest,
God my Savior,
the Horn of Salvation,
the Dayspring from on high, a Savior which is Christ the Lord, the Salvation of God.
He is the glory of thy people Israel,
Lord of the Sabbath,
my Healer,
the Christ of God,
my Servant,
the Chosen of God.
He is risen,
he is risen,
a Prophet mighty in deed and word.
He is the Word,
the Word that was with God,
the Word that was God,
the light of men,
the true light,
the Word that was made flesh.
He is the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father,
the Lamb of God,
my teacher,
teacher,
the gift of God,
gift of God.
He is Messiah,
the bread of God,
the bread of life.
He is my meat,
my drink,
the light of the world,
the door of the sheep,
the good shepherd that laid down his life,
the scent of the Father.
He is the resurrection,
the King of the daughter of Zion,
the corn of wheat.
He is the light,
the light,
my Lord, Master,
my example.
He is the way,
the truth,
the life,
the vine, scourged,
crowned with a crown of thorns,
crucified as the King of the Jews.
He is exalted,
glorified,
the Holy One and the Just,
the Prince of Life,
the Anointed,
the Prince and a Savior.
He is Lord Jesus.
He is Lord of all.
The Judge.
Jesus of Nazareth.
The Mercy Seat.
Jesus Christ our Lord.
He is the firstborn among many brethren.
Over all, God bless forever.
Lord over all.
The Deliverer.
Deliverer.
Lord both of the dead and living.
The Minister of the Circumcision.
He is my wisdom.
My righteousness.
My sanctification.
My redemption.
He is the foundation.
My Passover.
The spiritual rod.
The head of every man.
The first fruit of them that slept.
He is the last Adam.
The quickening spirit.
The image of God.
His unspeakable gift.
My peace.
He is the offering.
He is the sacrifice.
The head over all things to the church.
He is he that filleth all in all.
He is a servant who humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God,
the firstborn of every creature,
creator of all things,
the firstborn from the dead,
the head of the body, the church,
the head of all principalities and powers.
He is my all in all.
He is
our Lord Jesus Christ himself.
He is Lord of peace.
He is our Lord of hope.
He is God manifest in the flesh.
He is the justified,
the mediator,
the righteous judge,
the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
He is obedient, and his throne is forever and ever.
And ever.
He is the upholder of all things,
the express image of his person,
the brightness of his glory.
He is Jesus Christ,
same yesterday, today, and forever.
The shepherd of the sheep,
the great shepherd that was brought again from the dead.
He is a minister of the sanctuary
and of the true tabernacle,
and his flesh is the veil which was rent in two.
He is the altar,
the offerer,
the forerunner
for us.
Entered even Jesus.
He is the priest,
the priest,
the high priest,
the great high priest,
the intercessor,
the surety,
the covenanter.
He is
the captain of salvation,
the author and finisher of faith,
the King of righteousness,
the King of peace.
He is crowned with glory and honor.
He is the tempted,
the merciful,
the faithful.
He is holy,
harmless,
undefiled.
He is the shepherd.
He is
the perfect.
He is my helper,
the lamb without blemish
and without spot.
The living stone.
He's a chief
cornerstone.
He is a precious stone.
He is guileless.
He is
revival.
He is the chief shepherd
that shall again appear.
Today's star,
my Savior.
He is the word of life.
He is the life.
He is that eternal life which was with the Father.
He is Jesus Christ,
the righteous,
the Savior of the world,
the true God,
true God,
the advocate.
He is the advocate.
The advocate.
He is Jesus Christ.
He is
the first begotten of the dead.
He is the Prince of the kings of the earth.
He is
the Almighty,
which is,
which was,
which is to come.
He is.
beginning and the ending.
He is
the Alpha and Omega.
He is
the first and the last.
He is
he
that liveth.
He is
the tree of life.
He is
the hidden manna.
He is
the faithful and the true witness.
He is
the Amen.
He is
the beginning of the creation of God.
He is
the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
He is
the Lamb.
Mighty God it is that we serve. I tell you, just going through that and just thinking about all the things that God has already prepared for us and thinking about how easy it is for all of us to get into things in the negative. And I was a prime example of that last week, and I think Blog Talk Mom really enjoyed some of that, and we've had some great conversation about it. But, you know, what is your desire? Is it your desire to be they're in the negative things all the time with the voice that if someone has something to say, then your opinion has to matter, and not looking to make things different than what it is, but to just continue with the same message over and over, the message of this world that has no hope, the message of this world that, you know, pushes fear, makes you think that you got to store up food and store up water and the economy is going to crash and the world is going to need all these negative things that are there. But when you listen to all these aspects of God as they went through the Bible, and some of them was repetitious because it was in different places in the Bible, it would come up again as they went through, and that's why these same things were coming up again. It wasn't they were just couldn't think of things to say, it was repeating. If someone took time and started going through the Bible and put these things down. But I got a little song I want to play right here, and as this song's playing, I'd just like for all of you just to stop and just kind of put a mirror in front of yourself and see if you've gotten into the bad habit of being more negative instead of allowing God to be God in your life and transform you to be what he wants to be. And then we're going to open up the mics after this and hear what you thought about the show.
This is
Well, I hope you took a moment, as I did, to sit there and give the things that you know that's negative in your life and just give those things to God and just make up your mind from today, because we can't do anything about yesterday, but from today that you want to be better, that you want to take the things that God's given us and not just use him for things that want to bless us, but be a blessing for others. So, Blog Talk Mom, we're always glad to see you on the show. Do you have anything you'd like to add tonight?
Well, thank you all, Bill. You did a wonderful job of balancing out the other. But I wasn't really laughing at you, Wild Bill. It's just the righteous indignation that comes up sometimes, and we let our own... I'm going to quit laughing, though, but I think this was a wonderful program. I love all the... There's no end to how many wonderful attributes of God and the love of God and the power of God. When you first started the program, I was looking at this little computer thing on that looks up words, and there was 155 verses in the Bible that have the word joy. And of course you've got a sister and I've got a daughter named Joy. So that's
good. I think they're related.
Yeah. Got 47 verses on gladness, 89 on glad, and 183 on rejoice. And I just thought, wow, you're on target. It's just, that's it. That's the whole love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and rejoice in the Lord. And like you said, this is the day the Lord has made. If we can't go back yesterday or tomorrow, this is the day to enjoy that and walk in that beautiful privilege. So thank you again, you and Sister Starla, for making a wonderful program.
Well, thank you for always being here with us. And anybody else has got a comment you'd like to add or share, all you can do is push one on your phone. But isn't it unusual how easy it is for something to be said negative and how that can take off like wildfire? And yet something positive, it's like you have to just really push to get that to spread. But in this small circle of influence, as you saw with these little stories that we played, one thing was done to help one person, but it turned out to be a blessing for several people. We were designed to be happy, to be on the positive things, not on the negative things. But it's just so easy to go the other way. And we should not be that way. And being a new creature, we should leave those things behind and not drag them along with us, but we do. But it's like they do a thing with our local radio station where sometimes they do a pay it forward or something at McDonald's where they will pay for the people's food that's behind them. And I don't actually know how that works, but I know we had a neighbor had that happen one day. They got several small children. It was a real blessing for their family. And you know that it blessed the people that did it just the same. And that's the thing that we have to look at on this. And sometimes it's frustrating. I can understand that. I remember my dad used to have a garden, and when we got all of everything we needed, he would tell people, like, you know, hey, if you want to come over, you can pick the okra and you can have it, and you can get the tomatoes and the squashes out there that we put off all I had. And they were like, well, yeah, we appreciate that. When are you going to bring it to us? you know, not wanting to come over there and take advantage of what was there to be able to pick it off the vine and pick the ones that they wanted and to show gratitude. But that's the dynamics of life that we have to overcome. We can't fall into that because some people are going to push you to let them take something you meant as positive and make it negative. But it's just, well, you were there, Blog Talk Mom. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
And it's easy to get that righteous indignation stirred up sometimes, isn't it?
It is. And, because he was really being very, very generous. But they, like, what is that saying? I've got all this corn over here. You can have it. And they say, is it shucked? You know, they don't want it. You know, it's just fun. Human nature is fun. But it's a response. It's not just a responsibility to be happy. It's such a privilege. And once we get into that real love and joy, it has such power, and it lifts you up. You know, that he lifts me up out of the miry clay, sets my feet upon a rock. And David did more praising all the way through the Psalms. I mean, he was a man of praise. You know, lift your voices, dance, leap for joy. And so this is a very good, and it was so inspirational to see how, and be reminded of how, what you said, that when one person does a good deed, it becomes a domino effect. It will always do that. In fact, I've got this thing. If I'm in a store and there's something that's fallen off the hanger, and almost any time that I can, I will pick it up. I'm not saying this is like, oh, not great. I'm just saying I really believe that when we do something positive, that it has an effect. It just does. And maybe it's a good exercise for me. I don't really know. I know that the Lord let me teach a Bible study to some people of another culture, and what opened the door was that I had come in there and bought a couple of Cokes for the people that were outside the store doing a fundraiser, and it was very, very hot. And it was, so I asked them what kind of soda they wanted, and then those people saw that. So everything has an effect. So if it does it with a positive, it can do it with a negative. You know, we've got to be thoughtful and think of that. And all of those attributes of Christ, and we know him in all of those ways. It's just such a beautiful thing to know the Lord, to really know him in an intimate way, and to love him. It's the beginning of all joy and all peace, all long-suffering. Everything we ever want is when we fall in love with Jesus Christ. And I didn't mean to just keep on and on, but thank you again.
No, I think there's something that we've got sort of, I think we can sort of see sometimes things from the back end. It's like an iceberg in the ocean. We can see what's above the water, not realize really the potential of what is there up underneath the water until you actually get there, and like the Titanic, when they ran into it, like, that's a big iceberg. You know, but positive way, you know, we don't realize just what it is we got a hold of sometimes.
That's so true. We go at it absolutely in a negative sense, that we've got to earn something, we've got to climb the ladder. Now, these are psychological things that are true in anything. We do have to do our part. You know, we can't just leave that out. It wouldn't be real if we didn't do our part. And we are climbing. We are becoming more mature. We are not to remain babes. And we're to learn to eat the meat of the word. But it's not about that. It's about a God that could unbelievably, majestically awesome God that loved us so much that he let us be his children. We're born again into the family of God. And that is just worth loving and jumping and leaping and doing whatever you got to do. I was watching a sort of a documentary on Azusa Street in the 1900s, the Great Outpouring. And it is so inspirational how those, at that particular time, there were no interracial churches. There was just so many dogmas. And those people came together, and the mighty power of God came down in a way it spread all into other nations, blinded up. People were jumping up just, I can see. And they weren't praying for healing. They were just worshiping. They were just enjoying what they felt in that just, I know, I guess it was, I don't remember what day it was, but I've been going through this trouble with my sickness, and I was standing at the sink and cleaning up the kitchen, and I was thinking about the Lord, and all of a sudden, it was like, because I was reaching, there was this feeling of reaching out to him, and then all of a sudden, I just turned, and I didn't have to reach. He surrounded me. He was so close as my skin or my breath. He was just, he was there. And I wish I could hold on to that kind of an experience, because it was supernaturally glorious. And I felt better, just so much better, physically, mentally, in every way. And God is a provider. He just wants to, for us to be in health and to prosper. This is His will for us. And He's already, I don't know how we lose it sometimes. I do know, because, and the Lord was showing me this, because we walk in an area of what we sense, what we feel, what we smell, what we think, what we, you know, all of that. And those things determine our attitude about our altitude, what you said about that. Because our attitude then determines our altitude as far as getting into that dimension of the miraculous. God is a miracle worker. He miracles are ours. They're already bought and paid for. And this is the time of all time for God's people to stand up and just pray for people. I was walking out of a store today, and this lady was, you could tell, I could relate to her because she looked like she was about to faint. And I said, may I help you? And walked with her, and these two young men went and got her car, and it just immediately, it just made an aura of, like you were talking about with these people doing good. People want to do good, Wild Bill. They do. They want to feel like they're helping people, but maybe we just don't give them enough examples. I don't know. I'm going to hush, but I love the program. Thank you.
Well, thank you again, Block Top Mom. And I know different things speak to people in different ways. When I was sitting there, and I don't know with everybody else, but when I was hearing them, where they were going through the Bible and they were reading these different dimensions of God, and pulling that out of the Word, and different people were speaking it, something about that just spoke deep into my soul. It let me know, like, hey, I've not hid this from you. I've seasoned it all throughout the Word that I've left for you, so that you can be aware that there's great and mighty things that I want to do for you and through you, and want to be a help to those that are suffering and those that are struggling. And I plan on doing that through you. You're now my hands. You're now my feet, you know. But all these things, these attributes of God, you know, in a relationship, what you try to do is you try to learn things about the other person so you can try to please them. You don't automatically start looking for things just to aggravate them all the time. Otherwise, you wouldn't have much of a marriage, and you wouldn't have much of a relationship, you know, if you're just dating. But for God to let it be known to us the things that He loves and the things that's part of who He is, and then we want to call ourselves Christians, which means to be Christ-like. And I'm just like, it boils within me. It softens my heart, and it, you know, I was starting to say it softens my mind, but it couldn't get much softer than what it was after last week. But anyway, it molds me and shapes me in a way to let me realize I want to be more through Him. He is that high rock that I need to be lifted up on to be with. And He lets me know that He's my refuge there. He's my strength. I can find my joy in Him. My very excuse of trying to figure out why I'm here, I can find that in Him. I can't find that any other way. That question of life, why am I here, is established through Him. It was never designed for it to be any other way. We were meant and built to have fellowship, to worship and be with God. But we have grown away from that. We've let other things come between us and God, and we become satisfied with letting those things be there, to where we claim ownership to things that are hindering us from being with God, what we're called to be. Because we were never called to be the bottom of the barrel. We were never called to be the dregs of society. We were never called to be less than anybody else. We were called to be the head, the bride of Christ. You don't ever hear any man say, I went and married me some ugly woman. I remember I asked my mom one time, a friend of mine, or a friend of my dad's, rather, he married this woman that was cross-eyed. And I said, Mom, why did he marry her? And she said, well, he fell in love with her. And I remember I said, I ain't ever fallen in love with no cross-eyed woman or something. But it's one of those things how you look at. Now, I'm going to be getting emails from cross-eyed people from across the nation.
Yeah,
now.
You will.
But what I'm saying is that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. God created us to look at things and to find value and beauty in it, and that's the things that we need to attach ourselves to, not the things that are ugly and nasty and stinky that have to do with the bottom of what things are in life. God's called us. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. For those of us who know and understand who God is, how he was manifest in the flesh, the authority we have in using his name in everything we do and everything we say, he gave us revelation. Have you thought about that? If you know who Jesus is, you have revelation. If you know plan of salvation, you've been granted revelation. Because there's a lot of people talking out of the same word of God that don't have revelation. And they're content with where they are. So you should be thankful for that you have there. But then you should be a spreader of this good news, because God's going to pull people's hearts and minds at the time when he's ready for it to happen. And so easy. I know it's easy, and I'm sort of getting what my message was this last week, but it's so easy to get into the negative aspects of looking at lost loved ones and things and thinking, when's this going to happen? It's not ever going to change. Let me tell you something. You can't have that negative attitude and have faith working in your life. Faith tells you that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen on God's time at the right time to bring forth fruit in its season. Doubt and fear is going to tell you it's never going to work. It's not going to happen. The time is going by. They're going to be lost and all these things. And that's not what we need to go to the mercy seat with. We need to go boldly before God, place these things on the altar, claim it in the name of Jesus, and don't let go. And be consistent in our walk with God. But there again, that's one of those things that's easier said than done. I know, because I've been there, done that so many times. Well, did anybody else have anything they wanted to say? I just jumped up on my soapbox again, and I thought Starla might have something to come back with on this show, but I guess she's getting ready for her work day tomorrow. Well, I guess we've covered everything that could be covered, Block Time. Did you have anything else before we go?
Well, one scripture, a mindset that is really beautiful to me, because like you were saying, that the attitude a lot of times is that God is against us, or that he's wanting to punish us, or, you know, something. It's a negative, like you said. But there's a scripture in Luke, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse, and it says, "Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented." And that has always, since I first became aware of salvation, the little sheep, all the pictures you see of that shepherd reaching down. The sheep maybe is at the side of a mountain, can't get out anyway, and that shepherd has left the 99 and gone to that little sheep, because and all of heaven rejoices. And this sinner repenting is turning. He's turned to God. And, you know, if you turn to God, you turn away from something. So the joy of all heaven when someone that doesn't know God and has this concept, this negative this concept, turns and finds the living God. All of those words that you said, lily of the valley, bright and morning star, the great I am, our healer, the lover of our soul, the bridegroom, all of these things he desires to be to his creation. And this is beautiful. And thank you again, Wild Bill. I enjoy it.
Well, thank you again, Blog Talk Mom. And thanks to all you out there in Blog Talk Radio land that do take time, even if you disagree with me. I keep telling you, you're welcome to come on the air, that we won't, you know, keep you from saying what you got to say when you think that I'm off the deep end of the gangplank like I was last week. I confess, I was. But anyway, I think all of us have those days like that, can appreciate it. I work on trying to be transparent, and I think I was a little bit too much so. But I love each and every one of you guys that listen, and I pray that you enjoyed this show, got something out of it, blessed you. Maybe in your life, this is going to be something that caused you to come to a new restoration, to go back to that first love, to realize that we have, when people look at us, they need to see something in us that draws them, not us, that draws them to us. not because we can scream louder about what we think in politics, or we can show how upset we are about this and that, and the message in this spirit. I think it's the spirit of this world right now is driving men not to have hope, not to have faith, not to be able to put trust in the things that are pure and holy, to even tear down what those lines are anymore, for though we don't even know what's pure and holy anymore. We have transpired so much down the world with time. I made a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy so much that you can't even tell what it is anymore, instead of going back to that direct source and feeding off of that. And that's where it's all about, and that's what I want to do, and I pray that you do the same. So we'll be back here with you next week. God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you at your place.